craziest gematria that you can possibly think of.
Here we go. That is good. Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis bara Elohim
Esesh Magnus Aretz.
In the beginning, God created the sky and the land, right? This is how it starts off. So, there's a gematria that goes the following. You got to start this off with the gematria. Parach Raza, he's a Rishon, around the times of the Rambam, around the times of the Tosfos, says the following. The Sofei Tevis, meaning the last letters of Bereishis bara Elohim, is Tuf Aleph Men. Tuf Aleph Men is the Lashon of Te'im, or Te'um. Te'umim are known as twins, meaning what it's referring to is that the authors of the Torah, as well as Mishnayos and the Brisos and the Gemaras, are all twins, they're all double people. In other words, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, but the disseminator of Torah wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron was also a disseminator of Torah. It was Moshe and Aaron together. So to the Mishnayos, we know that twins is literally twins, but they're two people, chavrusas, that got all together. So to what we call them is really, we're going to call them Zugos. We'll call them Zugos. By the Mishnayos, it wasn't only Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. There's Rebbe Yehuda Anasi and Rebbe Nasan. Rebbe Nasan also helped out Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. By the Brisos, it was Rebbe Chia and Rebbe Yoshia. Rebbe Chia and Rebbe Yoshia were the ones who got it out. And when it came to the Gemara, we know the Gemara was written by Ravina and Ravashi. We got Ravina and Ravashi. Here we go. You spell out the word Bereishis. You take the word Bereishis, and we'll just say it on. Let's get one little thing over here. You write Bereishis as Beis, Reish, it goes like that, Reish, Aleph. You spell out the letters, and you go all the way through, Shin, all the way through, Bereishis, Bara Elohim. You spell out all those words all together. You're going to have to trust me on this one. Bereishis is the gematria of 1,820. Bara, of everything, it's 1820. Bara is the gematria of 1,033. And Elohim is the gematria of 295. So you all together, you put it all together. What does it come out to? 11, 14, 10, 11, 3,148. 3,148. Have you ever heard a gematria that goes up to 3,148? Because you think if somebody counted that high, you can make anything work, right? 3,148. The Zugos, we said, was Moshe and Aharon. The only thing that's weird about this is that Aharon is above, okay? Rebbe Nasan. Rebbe, who else do we have? Chia. And then we have Rebbe Oshia, or Oshaya, depending on where you're from. Ravina. And Rav Ashi. Let's go for the gematrias. Moshe and Aaron is a gematria of 607. Rebbe and Rebbe Nasan is a gematria of 924. Rechia and Rebbe Oshia is a gematria of 841. Ravina and Rav Ashi is a gematria of 776. Do the math, guys. 10, 18. 18, carry the 1. Always remember to carry the 1. Okay, 7 plus 4 is 11, plus 13, 14.
Oh, man.
That's right, guys. 10, 16, 24. Oh, but does this just work out? The Te'umim, which is Bereishis Bara Elohim, the people that were going to be in charge were, crazy coincidence, Moshe and Aaron, Rebbe and Rebbe Nasan, Rebbe Chia, Rebbe Yoshe, Ravina, Ravashi, Bereishis Bara Elohim, the last letters are Tuf Aleph Mem, that's the Te'umim, the twins, the Zugos, that go all together, it comes out perfect, We're not off by one, we're not off by, you got to add in the letters, not adding on the words and everything like that. It is MS, Te'im is also MS, but you're going to see all these types of things. That's number one. That's our first gematria, and that's going to be our only gematria for tonight. The other thing is, Bereishis. You take the word, and the Zohar starts off Parshas Bereishis and says what Bereishis stands for is Bara, created, Tayish. Anybody know what a Tayish is?
Tayish?
No.
Is it an animal?
It is an animal. Anybody know? It's a male of something. A Tayish. It's a male, close enough.
Bama.
Seems to be a male ram. In fact, it's a male goat. It's a male wild goat. That's what a Tayish is, a male wild goat. So the Zohar says, Bara Tayish, that the whole Pshat beyond Bereishis is, that God created, on the very first day, the isle that Avraham Avinu brought in the place of Yitzchak on the Akedah. And this is the isle that he brought instead of Yitzchak in the Akedah.
Right.
Three massive problems. Number one, an isle is what? A male ram, which is really a sheep. But a Tayish is a male goat. Number two, the Tayish was not made in the beginning of time. The isle was created on the sixth day, Ben Ashmashos. It's a Gemara Pesachim and Daf Nun Dalet. So straight out that the isle was created Ben Ashmashos, meaning in that time between day and night, right before Shabbos. That's when the isle was created. That's number two. Number three. What in the world? What in the world are we trying to be Merabes to? By saying, why would the Zohar start off with such a thing? A bar of tires that we're starting off with that. Start off with this over anything else? That he created this? What does this have to do with it? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to create the world? Why did he want to create the world? How did he want to create the world? I should say, with what midah did he want to create the world? Not true. How did he want to create the world originally? Midas Adin. That means that the way the world would have been, it would have been if you would have done something wrong, immediately a lightning bolt would have come down and hit you. If you're like, okay, I'm sorry. That would have ended up happening. And anytime you do something good, immediately you would have gotten like, I don't know, something in front of you, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I have them every day. You would have gotten one right sitting there in front of you on the best bread, because there's no good bread in Chicago. But the best bread that you can possibly get, it would be sitting there in front of you. Anytime you do something good, good happens. Anytime you do something bad, bad happens. Right there. That's Midas Adin. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that that's not good for the world. The world wouldn't be able to survive that way, because people, they're very easy to sin. So therefore, people are going to be punished too quickly. It's not going to be good for them. So instead, instead of making the din, he took chesed, came, and made the chesed rule over the din. Made the chesed be in charge of the din, and thus he came out. The combination between chesed and din is...
Rachamim.
Very good. You said it. I know, but he said it before. So it's Rachamim. So you come out with mercy, that's the mercy of God. Now, you know what the whole point of the Akedah was? What was the point of the Akedah? Of Avraham Avinu taking Yitzchak and putting him on? What was the Midah of Avraham Avinu? The Midah was? More than that. Midah of Avraham was? Chesed. What was the Midah of Yitzchak? Din. Din versus Chesed. Avraham Avinu, which was Chesed, was supposed to take the din and be ma'akid it, tie it down, and be ready to shecht it to get rid of Midas Adin out of the world. But in the end, it was stopped. Midas Adin remains, but it's subjugated to Midas HaChesed. Chesed is going to be in charge. Kindness will rule, and kindness will decide when the din should be brought into the world. Thus, it's Rachamim. Chesed is in charge, din only comes afterward. The whole point of the Akedah was for Chesed to rule over din. That was the whole point of what the Akedah was all about, and that was the reason why we had the Akedah. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bara Tayish. Created the world with a Tayish. A Tayish is a male goat. Goat stands for who? Who's known as the goat? The Seir. Who's Seir? Esav. Esav is the goat. Keves, a lamb, a sheep, is always known as Bnei Yisrael. We're always known as sheep. That's why all of our leaders are always these shepherds. We're always the shepherds of sheep and everything like that. Sheep always refers to Bnei Yisrael. So the Isle is definitely Bnei Yisrael. But the Tayish is Esav. What does that refer to? Because originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world only with Midas Adin. The laws of Goyim. He wanted to create it as a world full of Goyim, of Esav people, for only to be Midas Adin in the world. But Avram came along and changed it into an Isle. Avram, which is Chesed, came, took that Midas Adin, knocked it down, and said, you better listen to me, buddy. Took it down and knocked it down and made it into Rachamim. Made it into an aisle. What's the next word after Bereshis? Bereshis what? Bara. And then? Okay, I'm going to write the hay. I'm going to split up the hay and the yud over here. Look at these words over here. You know what these stand for? Oh, I circled that. I didn't mean to. The words that I circled are Avraham. The other letters are Aleph, Yud, and Lamed. It's Avraham, Isle. Because originally, Bara Tayish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world as a Tayish from Midas Adin. Avram came along and changed it into an Isle. The Chesed came along and made it into the Isle and made it into something which was a combination between Midas Adin and Midas Arachman. That's an awesome board. And by the way, the whole shot is because what are the three animals that are kosher? Three animals that are kosher are what? A goat, a cow, three animals that are brought as korbanos are a goat, a cow, and a sheep, right? A goat is supposed to be that's the side of Midas Adin. That's the side of like the Goyim, and that's why Seir is always known as that. You'll see the goat all around, and it's like Seirizim always refers to Esav. Okay, that's that side. A cow is the one that gives us milk. I know goats also give us milk, but we mainly take our milk from cows. Milk is a sign of Chesed. That's what the mother gives to its child and everything. That's milk. That's Midas Chesed. The animal in between is the aisle, is the ram, which is a male sheep. A sheep is in between. There's Chesed, there's Din, and the Rachamim is the aisle. So that's Tayish. And Baro, which is Avram, becomes an aisle. Awesome, no? Okay, that's good. Anyway, next. What does this mean? What was created on the first day of creation? Come on, we learned it. We learned it. My daughter is in kindergarten right now at Base Yaakov. She's going to come home, and I'm going to ask her. I know that this is going to be in the question because it is in every kindergartner's questions. What was created on the first day? And she's going to. I'm going to have to ask her that question. What was created on the first day? And she's going to tell me
light and dark.
And I'm going to say, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And I'm going to knock her down to the ground. I'm going to kick her. No, that won't happen. But I'm going to say to her, you're wrong. Very first pasuk, Bereishis bara Elohim Esa Shemayim Esa Aretz. In the beginning, God created the sky and the land. God created the sky and the land. Afterward, it says, wait a second. What else was made on that first day? Haaretz, there was land. Haisa Sohu, I don't know what that is. Vohu, I don't know what that is. I don't think anybody does. The Choshech, there was darkness. Alpnei Sahom, on the dark, the waters, the deepness of the waters, whatever you want to call that. There's five things already. The Ruach Elohim, there was a spirit of God, that's number six. Merachafes Alpnei Mayim, on top of the water, which is number seven. Not the depths of the water, but also the water itself. And then there was Or, and then there was Choshech. Vayomer Elohim Yor, Vayor. There were nine things made on the first day of creation. What happened to these things? What happened to these things? And why do we call it as Or and Choshech when all these things were there? And what was the world like? I don't get it. It means nullness and void. Do you know what that means? No. Sammy probably knows. Oh, he doesn't. Nobody knows. There's nothing to know. Yeah, a vacuum and a black hole. Everybody knows what that is. It's like that thing out there that nobody can. Do you know what a black hole is? It's crazy. It's the funniest thing in the world. A black hole is something where they can't see in their telescope. It is a blackness of space that does not have any. It is an absence of light. Where even if there is a light of a star that will go there, it somehow swallows up the light. They call that a black hole, and they have no clue what a black hole is. But everybody can translate, oh, black hole. Yeah, that's fine. A black hole is absolutely nothingness. It's pure nothingness. That's a guess what tohu vavohu is. There's no way to translate that. Absolute nothingness? What does that mean? It's black. It's darkness. But it says Choshech. The land was tohu vavohu, and then there was Choshech. So there's a third thing called Choshech. What does that mean? Okay, it's not translated. Okay. Now, what happened with all this stuff? You know what happened? There's an Or HaChaim and a Ramban. God created something out of nothing. You guys ever heard of ex nihilo?
Yeah.
That's cute, right? Ex nihilo. It's okay. Nihilo. Just means that there's something that's nothing, really.
Oh, I
know. No. This is the diet Pepsi. Said the Diet Coke and Mentos sort of a thing. You know, you put the Mentos in the Diet Coke and you see it. All right, anyway, but this is sort of these yesh me'ayin. Nobody's, see, normally you would laugh at that point. If you've ever seen somebody put Mentos in a Diet Coke, you see that?
I've seen online.
All right, anyway, the joke is dead. And once you have to explain it, it's not funny. Anyway, we have all these things are here. There is something as taking something out of nothing. Then there's another thing that's known as taking something and making something else. That's Bria, creation, is something out of nothing. Yetzira is forming something out of something. The only time when it uses the word bara within these psukim is in the beginning. Gracious bara Elohim es hashamayim es haaretz. It's the only time it uses the word bara. Otherwise, the only time it uses anything else is the word yitzira. Vayitzar ha'adam. And he formed the man out of the ground. You know what happened? God created on the very first minute of the very first day of Sunday. He made shamayim and everything within it, and the aretz and everything within it. Two massive balls of shamayim and aretz. And that's the ace. The ace ha-shamayim is the shamayim and everything inside it. The ace always includes something, and the aretz and everything inside it. It was a big mix-up. It was a big jumble of everything put together without any seder, without anything inside it. The rest of creation was just a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking out the certain things that were inside there and placing them within the world in the order that he wanted to do. So on the first day, so everything before Ki'ilu, before the world was there, there were two worlds that were there. The rest of it was just forming, taking out the light and taking out the dark and putting them into the world. How does light and dark mix in with everything? I don't know. But that's the second pasuk. What was everything like inside these balls of whatever? It was so vavo, choshech al pnei atom, ruach Elohim merachafes al pnei amayim. No way to explain anything. It was just not the earth, so to speak. It was everything physical. You can't even call it a ball. It wasn't the earth as we know it. It was just, call it it like a cube of matter. A cube of matter. And then there's a cube of matter that goes for Shemayim. So one for Shemayim and one for Aretz. And he put everything inside there that he would possibly need and put it all in there. The rest of creation was just pulling everything out and placing it in place. So in theory, everything was made on the first day. Just put into place the rest of creation. Yeah.
That doesn't go with Rashi, though.
No. This is the Or HaChaim and the Ramban. The Ramban specifically says how it doesn't go with Rashi, but he explains how to explain Rashi also, but that's not for us right now. But you are 100% right that it's not Rashi. Yeah.
Does the Ramban also say that there was only one act of creation?
Meaning?
Not multiple ones?
I don't know what you mean by that exactly. If you mean that there was one act of Bereshis, of Bara, of Bria, of creation, of something from nothing, then yes. The rest of it was formation. Then yeah, that's what he said. That's what he means. That is what he says. That's that itself. And the rest of it is just going on from there.
From Ramban, it would seem it formed itself.
No, Chas v'Shalom. God definitely did it.
Guided by God, but like formed itself.
No, meaning through the Maimaros of Hashem. Definitely through the Maimaros of Hashem, through the words of God. And that's by Yomer Elohim. Wherever you see the word by Yomer, that's going to be the formation, the Yitzira that came from that. But that's everything that came from it. Why? God didn't need to do that. Why not just bring out everything in its own little thing? Just create one thing whenever he needed. Why did he need all this? Why did he need to do this? Everything, every single thing in the Torah is there for a reason. And we're getting a lesson from every little tiny thing that's written in the Torah. The lesson from Bereshis is prepare before you do something. Prepare before you do something. Don't just go into something and just go ahead and do it. Make sure that you have something to go from. Make sure that you have some way of planning of getting into it. The exact same thing is said. What were the last things that he did? Right before Shabbos hit, he made 15 different things. There were 15 things. One of them is Shadim. The Major Shraba says about Shadim that they were formed as actual bodies, but without their legs. The bottom of their legs were not formed. Why? Because God didn't have enough time to make them. What do you mean God didn't have enough time to make them? Like, oh, geez, time is running out. I gotta go. Like, there's no such thing as time for God. What does that mean? The Major says, the Pshat is, he's trying to teach us that there's such a thing as working up until Shabbos comes, and when Shabbos comes, whenever it comes, stop whatever you're doing. Even if you're in the middle of something. You're in the middle of doing something. I'm in the middle of Shadim right now. And it's God. He's teaching us, when you're in the middle of something, stop it. Of course, he didn't need to make it that way. He's teaching us a lesson through that. No. Why? That's going to be another issue we're going to get to, the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas. Exactly. All right, guys. Prelude to the Chet. To understand what's going on with the Chet. With the Chet of Adam Rishon. What was going on there? A strange, strange thing with the Nachash convincing Chava and then Adam Rishon already falling. You've got to understand something. What was Adam like before the Chet? What was Adam like before the sin? So there is a Maisa that's brought down. It's a Hasidish Maisa. I saw this Maisa in Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin's book, Sipuri Chasidim. It's brought down in the Taimim Minhagim, and it's brought down in a couple other places. I did check up this Maisa. I asked very good sources if this Maisa is a good Maisa, if this is like a Maisa, if it's something that you can say over. And they said, yes, this is a real one. This is one of the real ones. The Munkacher Rebbe, the Rebbe of Munkach, his name is Rebbe Eliezer Shapiro, I believe it is, the Minchas Elazar. Unbelievable Gadol, unbelievable Tzaddik. He was a tremendous Baal Musar, he's a tremendous Baal Halacha. He's unbelievable. We have a lot of things from the Munkacher. He's got a lot of stuff out there. So the Munkacher was drinking a coffee one time, and he said to his Talmidim, can somebody go get me some sugar for the coffee? So a guy came back and gave him a sugar cube, and he put it in his hand. He was holding the cup, and he was holding the sugar in this hand. And he went about an hour, and he's drinking out of the coffee, and he finishes the coffee, but he never put the sugar inside the coffee. So at the end of the hour, the Talmidim, he finally finished whatever he was doing, Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, why didn't you put the sugar in the coffee? So the Munkacher opened up his hand, and there was no sugar in his hand. They're like, oh, bravo, good trick. Like, where'd it go? I didn't see it. What, it's in your heart? He said, where is it? So the Munkacher said, before the Chet, Adam Rishon, all the limbs of his body were in perfect harmony with one another. Every single limb that he had was in perfect harmony with one another. Everything followed each other limb. Meaning, not only the mouth eats, your hand can eat. It's like Mork and Mindy. Everybody remember Mork and Mindy? Ate with his finger? This is the idea, but it comes from that. The fact is, anyway, so you have, he was able to eat with any part of his body. He was able to smell with any part of his body. He could see from any part of his body. He could walk, in theory, with any part of his body. Every part of his body worked in unison with one another. There were no problems. There were no separations between different avarim of his body. Only after the chait did everything become defined. No, he still looked like a regular human being. But there was no such thing as only the mouth can eat. If it needs to be done, it can be eaten by the hand itself. So thus, hold on. What the pshat is that there was such a perfect harmony. It's something that we can't even understand or fathom, let alone like what does this come about? Hold on. So he said, after the chait itself, after the chait was done, everything got separated. Certain problems happened within the world. Certain bad things were brought into the world, brought into the entire belt, and the entire belt was given over. Everything had its set purpose and its set thing that it was supposed to do. The hands do this. The feet do this. The mouth does this. The nose does this. The eyes do this. Everything has their own separate thing, and they can't help out one another. Not until you're metaken, until you fix up that chait of Adam Rishon. When you fix up that chait, when you fix up that sin, I don't know how to do this. This is something that the Munkacher himself knew how to do. Then all of a sudden, your limbs become in perfect harmony with one another. So it's not such a wonder to eat with your hand. Said the Munkacher, he was able to see it, and thus the famous Meisim of Hasidim being able to see things that were not exactly there. Seeing things beyond the person. Seeing things from beyond where he was. He's able to see. Very similar. I don't joke around when you say that, but there is an ability that Rabbi Chorsky has, and it's not just stam, to be able to see things that are not exactly in front of you, that are not there. He had it to the extreme, to the point where he was able to see everything. And other Rishon was also like that. He saw everything, knew everything, had everything in front of him. The fact that he sinned, it is not a sin as we can say, he just really wanted an S-robe. It's not like that. It's something beyond comprehension that we can really understand. Yes.
Then how can the Nachash shot push Chava into the tree, proving that it's not a, that this that what she heard wasn't true? That so how come she didn't fulfill the like do the sin by eating through her hand or whatever?
More so. Well, there was no purpose. There's no purpose to doing that itself. You're right. She wasn't meaning to eat while she was putting her hand on the tree. It doesn't mean that it automatically eats for you. You put your hand on the tree, it just ends up happening. But there is, but it's not one of those things that you really, it's not like a joke sort of a thing where you can actually, it's a serious thing that like you are able to do it if it's necessary. There's no need for him to, yeah, there's no way. In other words, like an IV. You can understand it through an IV nowadays. How does it work? It sticks into your vein and it goes in. So the sugar is able to disappear into the hand, into your cells, go inside the blood and go inside the blood and everything. He didn't need to move his arm. You understand? Like, the fact that you move your arm and you go somewhere, like, let's just give an example of Rav Eliyahu Lopian. Rav Eliyahu Lopian lived about, 50 years ago? He passed away in the 1960s. Rav Eliyahu Lopian was one of the Talmidim, one of the Rebbeim of Rav Matzil Solomon. Rav Eliyahu Lopian was an unbelievable person. One time he was standing at a bus stop, and he looked like this to go see if the bus was coming, and immediately put his head down and like chuckled a little bit under his breath. So one of his Talmidim saw him and said, "What's wrong?" So Rav Eliyahu Lopian said, "If I was still in oh, I forgot what it was, with a K, Kelm, very good, who just said Kelm.
Wow.
If he was still in Kelm, I would have been whipped for that. I would have gotten a whipping for that. Why? Because in Kelm, every Motzei Shabbos, they would all get together at the Rosh Hashivas, and they would mention any extraneous activity that they didn't need to do. Any extraneous activity. Something that they did that was not necessary for their bodies. The fact that Rav Eliyahu Lopian looked up to see if the bus was coming, is that going to make the bus come any quicker? Of course not, right? He said, that's an extraneous activity. I didn't need to move my head. I would have gotten whipped for that. I would have gotten a whipping for that. Can you imagine? This is 60 years ago. This is not like 7,000 years ago. Well, like, you know, with Adam. That's like, come on, let's think about that though. This is one of those things. Rav Eliyahu Lopian came to the point where he said, I can look and not see something. I can look at somebody and not see them. I have the ability to look and not see. A guy came up to him and said, I want to be able to do that. I want to try. I'm willing to do everything it takes. Rav Eliyahu Lopian said, how old are you? He said, I'm 20. He said, it's too late. You started too late. You have to start much, much younger. These things are like, this guy lived 100 years ago. This is not so far off. I mean, he was at the point where what did he need to move his head for? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason to put your hand and put the sugar inside the coffee. So he didn't want to do that, so he went ahead and swallowed it. It's a level. Just, it's beyond us. That's what it means before the chait itself.
It's not just lazy.
What were you going to say? For us, yeah. 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 We'll get to close right now. We're gonna get to close eventually, I hope. What was the purpose of the Eitz HaDaas? What was the purpose of it? Why have it? A test. You could have done anything. Don't touch this rock. don't walk in this area right over there. What was the purpose of the Eitz HaDaas? What, this eitz over here to give them the power? Like, all of a sudden, like, you know, like, that brings this power of knowledge of good and evil. What was the purpose of it? Why?
What is the ring of power?
Listen to this, Tiferes Yonason. Only Rabbi Yonason Agshitz can say such a thing. This is the pshat. Hold on. Chazal say that if Adam Rishon would have waited, he would have been able to eat the Eitz HaDaas on Shabbos. If he would have waited till Shabbos, he would have been able to eat it.
Yeah,
what, he had 5 hours! 5 hours he could have waited and he would have been able to eat it. What does that mean? What happened? And what does that mean that he could have eaten it 5 hours later? Why was there a mitzvah not to eat it for 5 hours? You know what it's like? Vayechal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi es kol melachto asher asah. He finished up on the seventh day all the melacha that he wanted to do. That finishing up was the end of Bereishis. The end of creation. The end of the forming. The end of nature as we know it. That was the end of whatever God wanted to put inside nature. Anything that happened before then would be embedded within their nature to do that thing, whatever that thing is. Before they ate from the Eitz HaDaas, what God did was He gave them absolutely no taiva, no desire whatsoever. No desire for anything whatsoever. The problem is, if you have no desire, how are there going to be children? How are there going to be children? The act that brings about children is a disgusting act. Nobody would do something like that without a desire to do so. So how could it be? How could it be? How could that happen? Without? How could that be without that, without a desire for it? So what they did was, he brought about the Eitz HaDaas, and what he did is he brought about the Eitz HaDaas, and he brought this tree, for which it would be sort of like a hot soup on a cold day. What happens when you drink a hot soup on a cold day? Your insides get warm for about a minute. And then it cools down again. What the Eitz HaDaas was a taiva, a desire to do a certain thing for a minute. That's all the Eitz HaDaas was. A desire, it was a taiva for them to eat something, like to go and eat certain things, to go and do certain things. Whatever it was, that was a tree full of taiva. Had they been nature-wise, gone through and gotten up to Shabbos, and been naturally cool, calm, and collected without any taiva whatsoever, then they would use the tree only to be able to have children. And that would be the purpose. That would be the purpose of having that tree. But if they would eat from the tree before Shabbos happened, that means it would be embedded in their nature to have this taiva. It would be embedded in their nature to have that desire. That God didn't want, to be embedded within their nature to have that desire at all times. And that's what happened. When Adam, Rishon, and Chava ate from it, immediately they realized they were Arum, they were naked, and they had to clothe themselves. They had to put on clothes to cover up their nakedness, their ervaness, everything that they had inside them. Had they waited, there would have been no desire whatsoever. Desire would have only come when they would have eaten from that tree, and it would have been mutter in order to have children. But for that one second, that's the only time it would have happened. But because we had it embedded within us, now all of a sudden it becomes a problem. It's a taiva that we have to destroy every single time. I'm not so sure you guys are going to have a question on this. I want to keep these questions until afterward completely.
Because that actually says otherwise.
That's not true. I did say a word of creation. If God, Cain and Hevel were born beforehand, but what Cain and Hevel were born from was HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a sivoy, a command of Pur Ravu, for them to be together. If there's a command, even if that's disgusting, the command will make them do such a thing, even though, you're not listening, the command will make them do such a thing, even though there's no desire to do so. But other than that command, there would be no reason for them to do so. The only way they would be able to do so is through the tree, which was the purpose of the Eitz HaDaas. That was the whole purpose of it. I realize that that's hard, but that was the purpose of it. They messed it up by eating it beforehand, but there was a tremendous reason why they had to eat it beforehand. Tremendous reason. Adam Rishon knew. Look what he's like. What was he told to do? Adam Rishon, I'm going to put you inside Gan Eden. What you got to do is watch the garden. What's he watching it from? Who's trying to get in? What's happening all of a sudden that, like, gotta watch out for this garden? Try to weed it once in a while. Is there a weed in Gan Eden? Is there a problem? Who's weeding it now? Who's taking care of it now? now that Adam Rishon's gone. Obviously, it didn't mean anything. Adam Rishon was given a Nebuch job. You know that guy? You just say, like, you know, Aryeh, do you mind just watching that Dr. Pepper for me? Just watch it for 7 days. Just do a favor, you know, and you just sit there. And you just watch, just like, hey, better not touch that. It's a Nebuch job. It's a job that you give to that guy you don't know what else to do with. So you're just like, all right, I want to give you something to do. So here, just sit around and just look at that for 4 hours. You know, stare at the board for 4 hours. You know, you have detention, you have nothing else to do, you know, write up a whole thing. When you're done, just like, all right, just stare at the wall for another hour. Okay. That's it. That's how Adam Rishon felt. You know, I don't know if you guys know what it's like to be absolutely bored beyond belief where you have nothing to do. I'm sure it's happened. At one point where you just sat there and you're just like, I have nothing to do. You eventually just want to get up and do something and you just complain. Sometimes the complaining already takes away the boredom. Because complaining is already like, you go up to your mom and you say, I have nothing to do. You know, and your mom says, like, what's going on?
Having beer with Saba.
As crude and stupid as that comment actually was, as crude and extremely stupid as it was, there is a chachma behind that. But you have to remember that it wasn't anything but an act of rote anything. It was just what they needed to do. That's not something for them to do. It was nothing.
Here we go.
Wait, one second. There was one taiva. There was one taiva, and it was a tiny, tiny little bit of a taiva. There was one tiny little thing, but that was what... Hold on. But that was the one thing that we're going to get to. Adam Rishon decided, I can't deal with this. What Adam Rishon decided was, I need to have the decisions for myself. I need to make my own decisions. I need to choose myself between good and evil, between good and bad. And if I choose good, I'll be rewarded. If I choose bad, I'll be punished. I need to make the decisions myself. I can't just have this getting everything and not giving anything to God himself. I want to give back to God. I want to do things for him. And Adam Rishon decided with a big decision. It's a decision that any person here would have made had they been put in that position. He said, I'm going to do it. Not because, oh, I want to eat an esrog. Not because, oh, I want to eat a grape or I want to eat a fig or I want to eat a wheat.
Tricked him, whatever.
The chava was different. Yeah, what were you going to say?
No, but she tricked him.
Hold on. Chava. Chava, yeah. I didn't get to the Etz HaChaim yet. The Etz HaChaim was another purpose. But that's another issue.
And
we won't get into it. Yes. There was the Etz HaDas, HaTov, HaRa, and there was the Etz HaChaim. After he ate from the Etz HaDas, Hashem said, let's not let him eat from the Etz HaChaim, because he eats from the Etz HaChaim, he won't die, then he'll never get his kapara, and he'll never be able to go, to the Olam Haba that he deserves.
He should trick God by first eating from the Etz HaChaim.
You think you can trick God?
Apparently, if it's that simple, you just need to eat from one tree.
He didn't need the Etz HaChaim. He was going to live forever anyway before he ate from the Etz HaDas. There's no such thing as an Etz HaChaim before the Etz HaDas. There's no such thing. It's a refuah. It's like a medicine. You don't have morphine before you cut your arm off.
Some people do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what? We shouldn't talk about that. Those are the ridiculous people. But it's not a normal thing to do. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be other for Rav Lapian, or whatever his name was, to whip himself or get whipped?
Not him. It's a whole thing. Don't worry about the whipping thing. All right. Here we go. Chava. Yeah.
No. So two questions. Number one, you said before that, what do you call it? You're saying that Chava tricked him into doing it.
Not. I didn't say that, but
no,
we'll see.
We say that. We always say that. That she tricked him. She.
Karek Dalid.
Rashi says that.
Karek Dalid.
Hashem asked him why he did it.
Karek Dalid. Pasuk Aleph. Karek Dalid. Pasuk Aleph. The Adam Yadas Chava Ishto. Adam knew his wife Chava, Vatar Vatilit is Kayan. Now we know this happened in Gan Eden itself. Vatomer, and she said, Kanisi Ishes Adonoi, I have been Kona, a man like God, or for God. I have been Kona, I have acquired a man for God. What does that mean? I've become like God. Just like God created people, I created a person.
Who's your dad?
Chava, Batomer, she said. Chava, because women always name the first child. Then, Batosav Leletis, she again gave birth, as Achiv, as Hevel. She gave birth to his brother, Hevel, Havel. By Hevel Roid Son, and all of a sudden he was a shepherd of sheep. Well, why was Hevel named Hevel? It doesn't say that. Hevel means Hevel Havel, and as we read in Kohelis, absolute nothingness. You know what the pshat is? The Nachash was there in Gan Eden. The Nachash ate from the Eitz HaDas, because the Nachash was not commanded not to eat from the Eitz HaDas. The Nachash did eat from the Eitz HaDas, and there was no problem with him doing so. But because of that, the Nachash did acquire for himself Das. What was Nachash? Nachash doing in Gan Eden? No animals were allowed in Gan Eden. The Nachash was allowed in as the Mishamish for Adam Rishon. Erevin Daf Mem Gimel says, had it not been for the Chait, Nachash and Nechashim would have been our servants. They would have done everything for us. And the Nachash was a servant of Adam, and he was sitting in Gan Eden doing the bidding of whatever Adam Rishon wanted. He was able to do whatever he wanted. So he did eat from that Eitz Hadas. And once he got the Eitz Hadas, the Satan was able to come inside his mind and convince him what he was supposed to do for Chava. He heard Chava say, why name Kayan Kayan? Because I am like God. And saw a little Pesach, a little doorway, and said, oh, you want to be like God. The one desire that they had within them was to be like God. Now, you can use that for good. Be like God, just like God is Rachamim, so too we should be merciful. Just like God is Chesed, so too we should have Chesed. Just like God is, that's the good way of being like God. She said, be like God, in sort of a weird way. I was able to be like God in the fact that I formed a person. I made a person myself. Said the Nachash, you want to be like God? Goes up to her and says, if you really want to be like God, eat from the Eitz Das Tovara. Saw a way of convincing her to be able to eat it. Chava did not have the Das of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon wanted to do it because he wasn't a Nebuch. Chava did it because she was convinced. And that was ingrained within her, ingrained within an all woman, to be seduced very easily to do things that people want them to do. You ever try to convince a Bears fan, a guy who's a Bears fan, to become a Green Bay Packers fan? It's not going to happen. You try to get a Bears fan, you can talk to him all you want. No matter what you say to him, yeah, come on, it's Brett Favre, this, that, whatever. You can say anything. The guy will never become a Green Bay Packers fan. When it comes to a woman, and I don't mean this in a degrading way, but if you find a woman who is a Bears fan, you will be able to convince her. There are ways of convincing her. They're das, although Chazal says, daitan kalosan. That doesn't mean they're stupid. That means they are easily convinced. A man is not easily convinced. A man has to see it in paper and then in writing and the third right and this and that. No, absolutely not. And everything like that. A woman is able to be convinced very easily. It's a very big difference. Why? Because the woman was able to be convinced by the Nachash. Adam made the decision on his own. That's a huge, huge difference. That was the difference. And Adam took it willingly. Look at this pasuk. What ended up happening with them? Convincing over here. Look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vatikach mi piryo vatochal." After the whole conversation with the Nachash, she took from the fruit and she ate. Vatiten gam li isha ima vayochal. And she gave off to her husband with her and he ate. Good convincing. What did she do? Here, you want some? Yeah, sure. Get Adam. This is your mitzvah. So yeah, Chazal say that the Bala Turim says that she hit him with a tree the first sign of domestic violence. She hit him with a tree and made him eat. That's one thing. There was another thing. There's a rush that says a crazy answer. There's unbelievable answers. There is an answer that's brought down in the Midrash Rabbah. The Midrash Rabbah and Bereishis Rabbah that said she turned it into grape juice. She made the grapes into grape juice, into wine, and she drank. She gave him to drink instead of giving him grapes. So he didn't know the grapes could turn into wine. He should have asked, and that was his fault for asking. But he drank the wine. You're right, that she tricked him in that way. But he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it, willing to do the sin, knowing that this was going to give him a real life. And not just a life as a Nebuch, as being this guardian of absolutely
nothing.
And every single person, I don't know, but every single person here would have made that decision. Every single person would have done that.
They never have tithes. They obviously do have tithes. He didn't want to be...
They said this was their slight tithe.
Do you hear what the tithe is? The tithe is to be like God. That's the only tithe that they had. And just like God does things, just like God does this, just like God does that, that's the only tithe that they have. Not physical tithes, spiritual tithes, wanting desires to be like Him. That's a totally different type of desire. Not a desire down here. The Nachash made it into a desire down here, but a desire to be like Him. A desire to be up there like Him, and God put that within them. But that was the Pesach for the Nachash. It's just, it's an unbelievable thing. Let's just end off with one last thing.
Adam and Chava theoretically have eaten from the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos. Wouldn't it be
What you would be referring to is taking it off the tree, of something like bringing off the tree. Shabbos only has the ideas of malachos and having them usher on Shabbos because of the chait of Adam Rishon. That only comes from chatoyim. So meaning, there were no mitzvos for them to do. The very first mitzvah, what did they do immediately? As soon as they sinned, what was the first thing they did? What did they do? They tore off what? They tore off the fig tree, the fig leaf, and they made clothes for themselves. They made one big clothes for themselves. They made a piece of clothing for themselves, right? That leaf was used as that clothing. You know what that was? That piece of clothing, that leaf that they put on for themselves, all it was supposed to be them saying to themselves, let's make tzitzis. It says Vayasu Lahem Chaguros. Chaguros is a belt. You know what a belt is? A belt is the thing that connects you, that tears you away from Arias. Tzitzis is the thing that's always known as the geder from Arias, the thing that stops you from doing Arias, from doing those bad things. The tzitzis were there. Vayasu Lahem Chaguros is the same word as, says Chasam Sofer, is Vaasu Lahem Tzitzis. Same type word. Same type of a thing. And the fact is, what they did was they made tzitzis for themselves to remind them of other things. The only mitzvahs that came about were right then.
Whoa,
and that's where those ideas came inside. Yeah, the woman was the first word. Chava and Adam were the first people, first two people to wear tzitzis. And it wasn't worn by anybody else after them. And even after that, Adam Rishon and Chava were given new clothing, which were the kusnos or that they had were the leather clothing. They took off the tzitzis and they no longer needed it. It wasn't given to us until later on by Bnei Yisrael. The kusnos or were new things that were given to them afterward. It's just, all I'm trying to show you guys is that there are so many things going on beyond the scenes behind these psukim. Crazy things going on beyond the psukim. And I realize there are a lot of chisronos in what I'm saying. There are a lot of things that are missing. There are a lot of things that I told you guys today that are questionable. There are a lot of things that are like all over the place. And I know that some of these things are very, very strange. And I wouldn't suggest repeating all of this to somebody unless you can get the whole thing all the way through. However, what I'm showing you is that there are unbelievable things going beyond the scenes. Almost everything works out with Rashi. There are differences, and one of them was pointed out before, in which Ramban argues with Rashi on the Bereishis of the world. There's a creation of the world. The Ramban quotes down Rashi and explains how Rashi works out a different way. However, all these things are going on beyond the scenes. You just read through Chumash and Rashi. You will get every single one of these things down. You will see them inside there. You'll see these things. You just have to put them all together. Sometimes it takes a while. It's taken a while, and it's still going to take me a darn long while. It's been 10 years already that I've gone through Bereishis every single year going through all the Mefarshim and everything. It's hard, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get it. I mean, what would be the point of life if you could get it at the age of 26, there would be no point to life. But whatever, you keep going with it, and eventually you'll be able to find something. There's much more over here. I could go into over now the aftermath of what they wore as clothing, why they had to have clothing, what the point of clothing is, what this clothing was. The clothing was 8 different opinions what this clothing was. The whole thing of the Or of the Nachash, that the Nachash had all the pictures of the animals on it, that was given over to Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon gave that over to Chanoch, who we'll speak about next week. Chanoch gave it to Mesushalach. Mesushalach, this, the guy, the slayer of all the demons. Mesushalach gave it over. He didn't give it to Jesus. It was to Chanoch, to Mesushalach. Mesushalach gave it to Noach. Noach gave it to Chum. Chum actually really took it from Noach and stole it from the Teva. Kept it for himself. Gave it to Canaan, his son. Canaan gave it to Nimrod. Nimrod was killed in the forest by Esav on his 15th birthday after Avram Avinu had died. Esav had taken it for himself. He was able to use it for himself. It was given over to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov used it when he went in to go see Yitzchak to get the brachos, and there's machlokas if it was hidden after that, or it was given over to Yosef as a ksonis pasim. Unreal things are going on with this cloak. It's not just a normal cloak where it's just all over. What? What happened to Yosef Atzadik with the ksonis pasim? They dipped it in blood. They dipped it in blood and they destroyed it. It was then destroyed and it was never used after that. It was destroyed. And that's the whole reason why. Because there's no way that the Shvatim would do such a thing. So Yaakov Avinu saw what they did to the cloak, such a precious cloak. Who wouldn't want that coat? If they dipped it in blood, something's really wrong. They couldn't have done that. He had no hava means that they could have done anything, because how could you have done such a thing to the Ksonis ore that was given to the other Marisha? But the Shvatim had their own time, is why they had to do such a thing for that. Whatever. There's that itself. Dor Enosh. Shace was not on the level to deserve it. I realize it sounds strange. How was Chanoch, but not Shace? But Chanoch became the king of the world, not Shace. Shace did not. Dor Enosh. What happened with Dor Enosh worshipping Avodah Zarah? I just gave a whole share on that in Beis Sushi's for 40 minutes. I mean, this Dor Enosh. This is the third generation from Adam. They could go to Enosh and be like, who's your grandpappy? Oh, it's Adam Arishan over there. Yeah, he's tight with God, I hear. All right, so let's bow down to this idol now. what in the world is that? The Rambam says that they were doing it to get closer to God. Talk to your grandfather. What does your grandfather say about all this? Pelos, no rose. What happened over there? Unbelievable stuff, but that's not for now. We'll get to this eventually, but not for now. All right, guys, we're going to stop with this. Have a good shot.